It's 28 minutes to 12, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
It's been a good show.
Great show.
Yeah, great people.
Time flies.
Amazing stories that each of our contributors have done this morning. It really is fantastic. And it's no different with our next wonderful person who's in our studio, a person that I admire very much. I don't need to look at him. Most people know how I feel about this family and in particular our present guest in the studio. It's none other than my good mate, Richard Gremo. Good morning, Richard.
G'day, Jim. G'day, Darren. Great to be here, boys.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being with us. I know that you're in and out of meetings and so on, so I'm very grateful on behalf of Spotlight with Darren and myself that you can spare some time. Last Friday was a day that opened my eyes up to the love and support, Darren, of people who care about community, who care about supporting each other, and it was none other than, if I hope I've said this right, Richard, the Nathan Gremo Foundation Golf Day. And I thought it was a really good day. If I've got that wrong, we'll fix that up. But I felt very privileged to be there and to watch a couple of hundred people support that charity.
Yeah, so it was actually the Vicar Golf Day. So
okay,
the Vicar
thank
Pub
you.
At Dural.
Right.
So Peter Tate, the licensee, and Paul Gow, who's a good mate. Paul's a golfing professional, ex-golfing professional, and they were doing the Vicar Golf Day. They wanted to have a community partner. So the Nathan Gremo Community Fund was the community partner for Friday, and so it was a great opportunity for us to not only be involved with the golf day, but we had some guys from Donate Life come out. We had some Jersey Day gear at the golf day at Muirfield as well, and a couple of the guys from Donate Life had a chat with everybody on the course as well about, you know, the very important Donate Life message.
Richard, I was very impressed with Paul Tate.
Peter Tate.
Peter Tate. I've not met him before.
Yep.
And I wanted to meet him because, Darren, what I loved about him was the day actually cost him. And I love people who dig deep to help others. You know, it's great and it says a lot about, I'll just say in this case, the vicar and the, you know, their values and all of that stuff. But I was really taken back because he really was very supportive, as was Muirfield Golf Club. And this is not advertisements, and I'm very comfortable about trying to make sure that it's not, but I'm just saying about the quality of people that were involved in that event.
Yeah, so as licensee of the Vicar, Peter's very interested in engaging with the community around Dural and the Hills area. So that was what the golf day was all about. And so part of that engagement is not only having the people there, but also the Vicar itself becoming more involved, so...
Well, I was really amazed when I looked around the room. I was very fortunate to know probably about 40% of the people in there, maybe even more.
I'd say a few more than that, Jimmy.
But but the quality of people who made a decision to be there, like, and I'm sorry because everyone's important, right? I want to make that point clear. But when you get people who are extremely busy professionally being there, Peter Sterling was there, right? Lives on the Central Coast. He's there supporting this event. There was Nathan Kalis.
Yes, Nathan Kalis, I should make a mention there. So a couple of my good mates, which includes Nathan Kalis.
Am I one of them too?
You're one of my good mates, Jimmy. But I must say for guys like Nathan Hindy and some other mates.
Can you just say that Nathan Hindmarsh as well?
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah. So I should have said that. Nathan Hindmarsh, Nathan Kalis and Andrew Ryan that are really good mates. But I said to Nathan and Nathan Hindy on Friday night on a text that, you know, everything we do in the community they've helped out with for over 20 years now.
Yes.
So, and then people are sometimes not quite aware that these guys get hit up to be involved in a lot of things, but they always step up for events like that. So, yeah, it's always great to have them involved.
And I was impressed also too with the contributions made by those who provided the auction items and also those who bought. I thought they were just an amazing interaction between values, the values there.
Yeah, for sure. And What it is, just to be clear on that, we don't like to mix the message in. In regards to Jersey Day, it's not about raising money on the day itself. Day this year will be September 3, Friday, September 3. The day is not about raising money, but Jersey Day is now a national event. To ensure that national event happens, it becomes a little more complex in regards to, you know, these things cost money and time and all the rest of it. So we're... The Nathan Grammo Community Fund, what it's all about for making sure Jersey Day comes together is having some of those funds, and that's what I guess Friday was about, was having some auctions and the like to make sure that, for instance, last year was a little trickier in regards to having an event like Jersey Day, that but, you know, having a day like Friday ensures that Jersey Day will definitely be happening this year. It'll be a great day. It'll be a national event. And we'll make sure that, you know, all our politicians, celebrities and the like have jerseys and info packs can get out to schools and businesses all around Australia.
And what's really amazing in that story is that I think that was the first event for 5 years in terms of...
In terms of fundraising, yes. So we've been fortunate to have some support off the Donate Life Network to ensure that Jersey Day happens each year, and a lot of our friends are great supporters as well. But as I say, as it becomes more of a national event,
I was very
to
impressed.
Ensure that it can go ahead, we have to make sure that, you know, like any business, that we've it's sustainable and it can occur on the scale that it deserves.
Well, it's amazing because if you look at Facebook, with regards to the Nathan Grammo Foundation, you'll see eminent people or people of great popularity and professional roles, like the Prime Minister, like so many other people and sports people who've got behind it.
And we have a large network of friends and supporters and the Donate Life Network and lots of the organ recipients around the country that help out with ensuring that their friends that do have profiles, you know, get involved with Jersey Day. But at the same time, there's, you know, these things, couriers, postage, getting jerseys, Jersey Day merchandise out to schools and the like around Australia. It's quite a challenge, but we're certainly up for it.
And you're right, and you're right about the business aspect of it. I mean, you're in planning mode for 22. I mean, in the sense of...
Oh, we get asked that question a lot, Jimmy, as you know, being part of the team. A lot of people say, when does Jersey Day planning start? And I said, well, you know, to make sure Jersey Day goes ahead on September 3, 2021 this year, it's probably about a month before Jersey Day 2020 that it starts becoming... Well, I don't think we'll be able to get that dream come to life this year. That'll be 2021, and there'll be a stage soon that we sort of say, unfortunately, that won't happen for 2021. That'll be 2022. So it's constant planning.
Richard, we're going to go for a little break. You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and myself on Spotlight, and we're delighted to have Richard Grammo, the member of everything, and my very good friend. And we'll just go to a little break and come back after that.
Alive 90.5. 3 minutes to 12 on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and I lost the music there. It's not Spotlight without the music, is it?
No, it's not.
We were so engrossed in conversation in the break, and yeah, do you want to lead us through the second part of our great chat with our friend Richard Grammo?
I absolutely am delighted. We were talking before the break just with regards to a wonderful event that was held at the Vicar by Peter Tate and a whole range of other people who made the day a very successful day, and Paul Gow, and just incredible people who gave to support and acknowledge that in time of need and tragedy that we come together and try and provide support the best way we can. And that's not always done well, but to know that people care about each other, and particularly the Grammos, how much they're well respected in our community. Richard, September is going to be the next Jersey Day.
September 3, Friday, September 3, Jim.
Yeah, so tell us how, you know, will we get 100,000 people or 50,000? I mean, the numbers are huge now.
Yeah, I think we're It's a little higher than that as you go around the country. Like, I think last year was a bit of a tricky year, obviously, with everything going on in the world, but I think we had over 1 million social media interactions. So that's, and, you know, we're in a world these days where, you know, certain people who post on Jersey Day, like Kalen Ponga, for instance, I think it was 2019, maybe last year, he's got a good social conscience, Kalen, and he's got a large following on social media, and I think he had a post that gets 40,000 likes. So that means 40,000 people, doesn't necessarily mean they're joining the organ and tissue register at donatelife.gov.au, but, you know, they're learning a little bit more about what Jersey Day is all about. And if they learn what Jersey Day is all about, hopefully they'll learn a bit more about organ and tissue donation.
Yeah, absolutely. Not controversy, but what's the process of now, in New South Wales at least, in providing support in organ donations? How does that, is to deal with your licence, am I correct?
No, so the licence is, it disappeared a long time ago. So you still have your intentions on your licence in South Australia, but that's the only state. So vast majority of people still think their intentions are on their driver's licence. They're not. So there's two things in play here. You have to go to donatelife.gov.au and register your organ and tissue donation intentions. It takes less than a minute. But more importantly, you have to have a chat with your family. So even if you're registered as an organ and tissue donor, if the worst comes to the worst, and we're talking, you know, these are very rare instances. Essentially, you have to die in a hospital to be an organ and tissue donor. Mm-hmm. That rarely happens. In many instances, this is as a result of an accident. But even if you're registered as an organ and tissue donor, your family will still be asked to verify your intentions. So it's extremely important to have a chat with your family. You register your intentions, as I say, at donatelife.gov.au, but you have to have a chat with your family, because ultimately they will be the purveyor of your decision. So, and then, you know, nobody likes talking about these things. We get it. And I always say this, we're not here as a family to advocate for people to say yes. We're here for people to have a chat, whether that's yes or no, so that their family knows, because unfortunately we can assure you that if the worst comes to the worst, there's immense grief and there's a lot of other issues happening at those unfortunate times. You know, that's many ways the last thing you want to deal with. But if you're registered as an organ and tissue donor, yourself, Jim, and Carol was asked your intentions, if she knows your intentions, she'll say yes. And it really is as simple as that. You know, a lot of people don't want to have that chat, but, you know, we're certainly of the opinion that once kids are in high school, 12, 13 years old, they understand the world and what's going on. You have a chat as a family. It's a one-minute conversation. And in the vast, vast majority of instances, this is, you know, the situation will never be brought up again for your family. Mm. But people have to understand, you can't have a rainbow without the rain. If you had a sick child in your family, of course, to keep that child alive, if it was relying on an organ or tissue donation, you would move heaven and earth to make that happen. So, you know, as I say, you can't have a rainbow without the rain. If you wanted that to be the situation in that instance, well, you most likely need to be a part of registering your own intentions so that you can potentially help another family.
So, Richard, when we're talking about those sort of situations, what are the statistics of organ donation that take place year in, year out?
I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, so I could be a little out here, but you essentially have to... I think it's about one in 100,000. I could be deaths that can result in successful organ and tissue donation. So the vast majority of deaths, if it's not in a hospital, it just can't occur. So it's in very rare instances that this situation can occur. But at the same time, if it's a very rare instance that one of your family is relying on an organ or tissue donation to stay alive, well, we need to make these rare instances match up. And so that's the challenge of organ and tissue donation in this country. For instance, on Friday we had a organ recipient, Jaden Cummings, came out to Muirfield and had a chat with all the golfers on each hole. So Jaden was essentially a healthy 46-year-old 2 years ago, had a 13-year-old son at the time. He got the flu. The flu attacked his heart. So this is, you know, 2 years ago, like I say, nothing to do with last year. Pretty much within 2 days, he was on life support, and his family was told to come and see him because he was essentially going to die. He was able to receive a mechanical heart that he had for 450-odd days to stay alive. And then, ultimately, he was the beneficiary of a heart transplant. So that was 2 years ago, and now he's essentially a healthy 48-year-old. His son gets to see him this Christmas. That's what organ and tissue donation is essentially all about. Without organ and tissue donation, you know, Jaden's essentially not alive.
I can't believe we're nearly out of time. Darren, I, as I say, I have immense respect for all the grandmas. And Richard, thank you for joining us and sharing. I mean, it must be so painful. I'll just say that as a comment. But you guys have been so courageous and continue to try and support our community. I can't thank you enough on behalf of Spotlight, Darren and myself at 90.5 for the commitment that you make for other people's lives. Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure. We'll be shouting out this message certainly while ever we're still alive on this planet so that we can help other people.
Thank you for being with us this morning. I understand you have a song to take us out.
Yeah, we had a look before, something a little rare. I'm a massive Bon Jovi fan, and we've got a great song with a social conscience here. I'm With You from Bon Jovi.
And here it is on Alive 90.5.
Alive 90.5.